Are you ready? Are you ready?
So just how glamorous do you feel?
Anybody get a match?
The glamour of Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart smoking away on the Hollywood screen, making us all dream of just being them. Are they it? Or do Bogey and Bacall just move over for Kanye and Kardashian what's-her-name?
When the paparazzi surround you, you know, why would you be with this person? And I'm saying I'm being with this person because, you know, I love this person.
Glamour is, of course, in the eye of the beholder. It causes us to do things or buy things or dream things we can never be. But that's okay, because we get a tiny bit of stardust if we just follow the royals, the Brad Pitt Angelinas, looking the part is the part. That's the magic and superficiality of glamour and the skill of pulling it off.
I'm Shannon. I'm in Locust Grove, Oklahoma. Most glamorous woman in my life was my grandmother, Joy. She would rock gold lame as beautifully fresh-colored beehive and penciled-in eyebrows in Podunk, Oklahoma. She eventually was the lunch lady at the schools, still rocking that lame till the day she passed away. I miss you.
Rocking the gold lame. Thank you, Shannon, for that story. What's your sense, personal sense of glamour in your own life at 877-8-MY-TAKE? Tell us a story or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. With us, she's written about branding and glamour and taught glamour at the School of Visual Arts here in New York. Virginia Postrel is the author of The Power of Glamour, her new book. Virginia, welcome.
Thank you.
There's so much here. There's so many pictures and references that are so great. How personal is the idea of glamour and how universal is the idea of glamour?
That's a great question because it is both. My take on glamour when I sort of delved into it and tried to figure out what is it, is that it's a phenomenon like humor in the sense that it is probably universal. It is something where there's an audience and there's something, an object, a person, something glamorous, and you have an interaction between that audience and that glamorous thing. And in that interaction, an emotion arises. So just as you have something funny and an audience, and the audience either finds it funny or not and laughs, there's an audience and there's this glamorous object, and you feel this pang of if only, this sense of longing and projection. And what is glamorous to you depends on who you individually are, and it also depends on the culture that surrounds you. What is significant in that culture? What is meaningful?
And Marilyn Monroe can be considered glamorous by people who aspire to be her, and by people who are repulsed by her. It both confirms the idea of glamour.
Well, I tend to think of glamour as being more about the drawing you in. So, yes, you can objectively say she is glamorous to other people but not to me. But to say that she's glamorous to yourself means that you somehow want to be in the world she represents.
Aspirational.
So for example, I very much as an analyst say in 2008 – Barack Obama was a very glamorous candidate.
All right, here we go. This is Barack Obama glamour.
If you want to know who we are, what America is, how we respond to evil, selflessly, compassionately, unafraid.
And Bill Clinton, would he be considered glamour?
No, I would not consider Bill Clinton glamorous. Bill Clinton, however, was highly charismatic. All successful politicians are somewhat charismatic, but Bill Clinton was kind of over-the-top charismatic.
Well, it's your Clinton.
It's fine for people in rich countries to say this is what it ought to be. They don't have to live in these little villages and watch people die like flies.
So you can relate to Clinton, but you don't necessarily want to be him. But Barack Obama has a heroism that you do aspire to.
Well, Barack Obama in 2008, because once you get to be president for a long time, a lot of the mystery disappears.
Boy, isn't that
but
the
Barack
truth.
Obama in 2008 as a candidate really encouraged, maybe not intentionally, but his supporters projected onto him all their longings for what they wanted in a country, what they wanted in a president. And he was somewhat mysterious. He didn't have a long history in public affairs. He was from this slightly exotic but not too exotic background, which is another thing. You need that mystery, but it can't be opaque.
Well, there's something about the presidency also that destroys the whole idea of glamour. As you write in here, that it's about the toss-off. It's about the effortlessness, the Ginger Rogers, Fred Astaire. They do it practically asleep, dancing there on screen. And you don't do anything in your sleep if you've been president for a term and a half.
Right. Glamour is an illusion. The word originally meant a literal magic spell. And what the illusion is this grace. And I have a chapter in The Power of Glamour specifically mm-hmm. about grace, this effortlessness, hiding all the difficulties. I mean, one thing, going back to Obama in 2008, one thing that he encouraged people to believe is that sort of politics would magically vanish and all the political conflicts.
Yeah, he was right about that. You know, I want to give a sense of the list of differences that you talk about here. Che Guevara, of course, glamorous. Castro, just charismatic. Thomas Jefferson, glamorous. Andrew Jackson, just charismatic.
There's no just about charismatic.
Well, I guess. I'd be happy to have either one, I suppose. I love this one. Here is glamour in your view.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time,
Tupac Shakur, the late Tupac
right.
Shakur.
It helps to die, by the way.
It helps to die, yeah, in a sense, the power of glamour. All right, is this just highbrow, lowbrow? Because here's the contrast.
One, two, three into the folks. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope.
Snoop's charisma, by your formula.
Yeah, I think Snoop has this kind of stage presence. I mean, you know, you can't not look at him. And it's not about being mysterious. It's about a different kind of presence. And charisma is this personal quality. It's not about the audience. The audience responds to it, but it's something like intelligence. And the other thing is, like you mentioned, Andrew Jackson, when a person dies, their charisma goes away. Whereas when a person dies,
their glamour
is often intensified.
That's so interesting. Respond to what one of our listeners said, and that is, it's impossible to have glamour these days where we know everything about everybody. There's nothing that's effortless, and the media makes everyone share constantly.
Well, I think that one of the amazing things about glamour is that anything is glamorous because it cuts against a lot of our deeply held values like honesty and transparency and frankness and comfort and overt sexuality, all of these things. That said, I think we exaggerate how universal this full disclosure is. And there are movie stars or actors, to take a traditionally glamorous category, who are glamorous. I heard an earlier listener mention
Meryl Streep. Who to you is the most glamorous before we go?
Well, I think Kerry Washington is having a very glamorous moment, which is interesting for a TV star. It's unusual.
Virginia Pastorello is the author of The Power of Glamour. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So who's the most glamorous person you've ever known? What makes them so glam?
My friend Jill Sockwell is the most glamorous person I know. She always looks great, even when she's picking up her two girls from school. She just finds a way to bring pizzazz into every aspect of her life. It's really inspiring to be around her. And, of course, I hope a little of that glamour rubs off on me.
Wouldn't you like to meet Jill Stockwell? Thanks so much for sharing. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Send us a tweet at The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.